Hallelujah. Jesus is great and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. All right. I am excited. I believe the Lord is going to do the miraculous today. Yes, I believe the Lord longs to save, heal, deliver, and fill his people. And I believe he is more than able to do that this morning. Can somebody say hallelujah? I believe that not because I'm the speaker. I believe that strictly on the power of God's word that says he will confirm his word with signs that follow. So anytime his word is taught, proclaimed, or preached, he promised that he will confirm it with signs that follow. So we can guarantee today by the power of his word that somebody will get saved, healed, delivered, filled, or touched from the Lord simply because he's a man of his word. Can somebody say hallelujah? Amen. We welcome the Holy Spirit to do that. And I want to say thank you so much to Pastor Tim and Donna for the opportunity to be here. I'm thankful for people that just affirm you and believe in you. Not just the gifts and callings in your life, which is a beautiful thing, but believe in you personally as a person. There's nothing to compensate for that for somebody just to believe in you. And they have, and you guys and the board has too, and opened up your arms so generously and embraced me. And I'm thankful for the office. It's good to actually come in and say good morning to people because I am single. And so that's a wonderful thing. Also want to thank, Frager Fire Ministries is an entity of itself, and it's not one about one person. It's about many people, because we long to see people be used in the gifts and the talents the Lord has given them, and to see a fragrant fire of the Spirit and the supernatural fire of the Spirit be from here and go to the nations. And it could not be done without the fabulous board that the Lord has given to Fragrant Fire Ministries. And you know them, and they serve here at this church. And I just want to give a special thank you to Lisa Party, who is on the board, as well as Joel Rennie, Randy Crozier, and Christy Bartz. You guys know them. And can you just say thank you to Pastor Tim and the whole board of Fragrant Fire Ministries? I'm grateful for the accountability. And we as in Fragrant Fire Ministry, and I'm on the board too. But we are so thankful that the Lord is doing an incredible work. And we believe that the Lord just simply wants to save, heal, deliver, fill people, touch people's lives, and transform them. It's taking territory back from the enemy, which is why I'm based and why we are based in Peshtigo and the Marinette area here, is because of the fire that happened a long time ago, destroyed and took lives. We believe that the fire of the Holy Spirit wants to take back everything that was taken in the natural. And there's the enemy that wants to take territory in your life, correct? But we believe the supernatural power and fire of God longs to take that back. And so that's what Fragrant Fire Ministries is all about. Two, we want to invest in people. If you want to know about our five facets of ministry, please go to fragrantfireministries.com and you can hear all about it and watch those wonderful videos. And if they look kind of sharp and snazzy, you can thank Scott Biswamick for doing an excellent job with that. He's just a very talented man. And you can learn all about Fragrant Fire Ministries. Also, we have a display table that is back in the back there filled with fertilizer. What does that mean? Well, there is the teaching of the Word of God that is back there, which is great fertilizer for great spiritual growth. And Fragrant Fire Ministries believes in investing in people and believes that, you know what, we don't believe in a parasitical, self-absorbed, selfish spirit. In fact, if we're filled with the Holy Spirit empowers, right? So naturally, if you're filled and under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you're going to want to influence others, and you're going to want to empower others. Therefore, that's one of the facets of Fragrant Fire Ministries is mentoring. And therefore, we just have many teachings that are out there. Reverend Dave Ure, if you need to know that the Lord delivers someone from a fatherless spirit and delivers you from alcohol and drugs and can call you into ministry, you need to get his testimony that is back there. Can I get a hallelujah and amen? And you need to get that. Get it as a stocking stuffer for somebody you know that needs to be encouraged. All of the donations for his CD goes directly to him and to his son in ministries. Also, you need to pick up the teachings of Reverend Lisa Pardee, too. Many of you know her. She's got some fabulous teachings back there. Hope Restored and my favorite, Keys to Your Destiny. That's back there. And she has a smart and really sharp-looking booklet that actually goes with her teachings, which I don't have. And so you're going to want to pick that up and bless her ministry that God is going to be calling her to. And she's already spoken at women's things, and so all the proceeds go to her as well. I encourage you to pick up hers. And mine are there too. And I thank you for Kara McDowell is back there. She's working it, and she's working out the deal. So board members of FFM, she's going to work out a deal there. And I don't know what it is. I said just write it down, and we'll somehow work through it. So aren't you glad that his fertilizer doesn't freeze? In fact, it flourishes. And we're so grateful. In fact, at this time in 2020, where we had just an interesting year, where we think, what is God doing? I'm telling you, he's done the miraculous with Fragrant Fire Ministries. He has done a phenomenal work. For those that think, what is God doing? I will tell you this, he has done the miraculous. This is what he's done. I think we need to give praise to Jesus. It's up on the screen here. 158 people have been saved. Jesus has saved 158 people. Hallelujah. 45 people have rededicated their lives to the Lord. Hallelujah. There have been 12 who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit for the first time. Thank you, Jesus. 38 people Jesus has healed. 8 received deliverance. And I'm like memorizing all this stuff. 8 received deliverance. 8 received deliverance. 12 have been touched by the Lord. And we've had 3 miracle babies this year. Jesus has done great things despite everything the enemy wants to throw at you. Jesus does the miraculous and shows that the enemy is still defeated. And Jesus is still on the throne, and he's still pouring out his spirit. Hallelujah. And can I give you just a few testimonies before Pastor comes up and we get into the Word of God? And this is exciting. So I want you to look up on the screen. And first of all, we have a lady named Maritza. And I'm given the privilege of speaking in South Dakota at the District Women's Conference that was there. And after one of the messages, the Lord gave me a word of knowledge about asthma. And lo and behold, there was a lady, Maritza, and she was way back in the back. And there's a reason why she was way back in the back. She was very scared and fearful of the whole virus because she has asthma, or she had asthma. But the Lord gave me the word of knowledge about asthma. And somebody that knew her very well, a pastor's wife, was jumping up and down at the altars. And I'm like, what? And she's like, ah, because she knew Maritza very well. And Maritza came forward. We prayed for her, and the power of the Holy Spirit came on her. She saw a vision, and she saw a bright light in the hand of this person, the bright light coming and touching her chest and telling her, it's going to be all right. You're going to be just fine. And guess what? The Lord touched her and healed her, not just of the spirit of fear, but of her asthma. And who would have known? I found out later, it was her birthday. Isn't God good? That's what Jesus does. And this happened recently in the middle. You see these wonderful young students. The Lord is pouring out his spirit upon our young people. Just a few weeks ago, I had the privilege of speaking to Seymour Assembly of God Church with Pastor Phil Engel. Wonderful church, faithful church. And I had the opportunity of bringing both Chloe and Savannah, who are students here, with me. And they got to see the power of God moving in a phenomenal way. And Judah, you see, is one of the students. He came forward for the altar call. He knew exactly what he wanted. He said, I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said, you've never received it before? And he said, no. We prayed for him, and guess what? The Lord filled him with the baptism of the Holy Spirit right there for the first time. And this other girl that was with him named Raina, I believe that was her name, Raina, she came up later on, and she was a little hesitant. She goes, I just want more of Jesus. And I said, well, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? She said, what is that? So I gave a one-on-one little tutorial about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. She's like, okay, 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 okay. I said, can we pray? She said, sure. And the Lord prompted me to get Judah. who just was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I said, Judah, I want you to anoint her. And now I want you to use the tongues, the spiritual language that the Lord has given you. I want you now to anoint your friend. I want you to pray over her. And guess what? He prayed and Jesus filled her with the power of the Holy Spirit, a domino effect of what the Lord wants to do in the lives of his people. Can you give Jesus praise for that? Hallelujah. And by the way, both Chloe and Savannah were praying with people at the altars. This is one of your students here at Calvary. This is a church without walls. How the Lord wants to break things down and spread a fire of his Spirit. And he used one of your own children here, one of your own students. They, both of them together, I was across the way praying for other people. They went and they laid hands. A lady had pain in her shoulder and in her back. They prayed for her and Jesus healed her. They got to see the power of the Lord touch and hear that lady. Isn't that wonderful what the Lord is doing? Yes. And then one last testimony. And this is very precious. Last year, I was able to go to a church. The Lord, during praise and worship, gave me a word of knowledge and said, somebody's here is afraid of having a miscarriage. And during one of the messages, I inserted that. I said, I just want to let you know, someone here, you're afraid you're going to have a miscarriage, and that is a lie from the pit of hell. And the Lord's going to do great things in your life. And I had no idea that it was the pastor's daughter-in-law. I had no idea, but afterwards found out this daughter-in-law had multiple miscarriages, and she just became pregnant and was scared that she was going to lose her baby. And how the Lord is so good and knows these things. Isn't he good? And he knew the fear of this mom who wanted desperately to have a child and a baby. God knows the deep yearnings and desires of our heart, doesn't he? To where he would download and just speak a word of encouragement to say that is a lie from the pit of hell. And wouldn't you know, just about 9 months later, little Lincoln that you see up there was born. And I got to, Pastor Dietrich actually sent me the picture. The whole family is just elated. Isn't God good? That's what God wants to do. He wants to take territory back and move in miraculous ways to defeat the lies of the enemy. That's what Fragrant Fire Ministries is all about. That's what God is doing. And why don't we just give Jesus praise for what he's done this last year and glory. Hallelujah.
And those watching at home, you can give either dropping your gift off here at the church or putting it in the mail, designating it for Renee for Fragrant Fire Ministries, or you can give on eGive. But we encourage you to be givers and sow into this ministry that God is using to do wonderful things. Amen. These are powerful things, and as the pastor, I get to hear, usually one of the first ones to hear what's going on when she gets home. Renee is just lit up. You know, she can get really lit up, you know, and not with drunk with wine, but the Holy Spirit. She gets excited when she sees God move every time, and we want to sow into her ministry and to be a part of what God is doing by giving her support to her. This is her only support. Is through the giving of God's people. And so we want to be generous in giving to this ministry. And Renee also would encourage you, I would encourage you, that if the Lord moves on your heart, your tithe belongs to your local church. So we're not asking you to give out of your tithe, but if you would be directed by the Holy Spirit to be a partner with Renee, a financial partner, and giving to Fragrant Fire Ministries directly, you are certainly encouraged to do that. And I know I know some pastors who would never say that publicly. I'm not boasting, but I'm just saying I've heard some pastors say that they would never encourage that, even with a missionary, because then they won't give here. But, I believe God's going to supply all of our needs and by his abundance in heaven. Amen? By Christ Jesus. So we want to be moved and obey the moving of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Thank you so much for giving sowing good fertilizer into Fragrant Fire Ministries. Hallelujah. Well, I am excited to bring a fresh word from the Lord this morning and to see what God is going to do as far as the miraculous, which I believe he will do that. And for the joy of Christmas, right? We're coming upon the holidays, and I'm so thankful for the Holy Spirit to actually impress upon my heart to have the message entitled today, The Spirit of Christmas. Because I believe the Holy Spirit is very active at the Christmas story. Can somebody say hallelujah? And we are going to look at several verses, but one of the verses we want to definitely start out with, which is very pivotal, is Luke 1:35. It says this, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." Of course, we know this scripture verse. When the angel of the Lord came to Mary and said, "Hey, something special is going to happen to you. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon you." The Holy Spirit is very important for Christmas time. That's why we're focusing on the spirit of Christmas. And when the Holy Spirit comes and when Jesus came into the world, it totally changed the atmosphere, shaking and moving the entire world. I love it how it says the shepherds were abiding in the field. The angels appeared to them and said, "Great news of great joy that's happened to you." They came and they saw where Jesus was born. After they saw where Jesus was born, I believe they were the first Christmas carol singers. That's just my own personal bent. That's not probably good doctrine at all. But the Bible does say they went about and they declared the wonders of the Lord. Isn't that what Christmas caroling is? Declaring the wonders of the Lord. And Christmas caroling comes very close to me and my heart. And I will tell you kind of a humorous story that happened to me when I was serving on staff in Green Bay in Wisconsin. Was that time missionettes. The girls' ministries always would go out every year around Christmas time and do Christmas caroling at the nursing homes. And I wanted to go with them. But I was more of a protector. I went behind them, making sure everybody was there. That's very much my temperament. I very much, you know, watching out for people and things. So I was lagging a little bit behind, singing along with them. And this dear, dear, precious lady in the wheelchair, she comes up to me, wheels up to me, but it's like, "Psst, hey, come here, come here." So I went up to her. She goes, "Okay, this is the plan. You go over there and you make a distraction. You make a distraction. And then once you make a distraction," she goes, "I'm going to exit out that door right over there. Okay? Does that sound like a plan? All right, you just tell me what it's doing. We'll do the countdown. You go right over there and you do." Who sometimes doesn't want to exit from some kind of uncomfortable atmosphere and surroundings? Correct? And I was like, I just tapped her. I was like, "God bless you and follow la 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 da 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 da." Walk on along. And, you know, Christmas caroling wasn't bred in me. Mom and Dad, well, actually, Mom was very much the singer and the piano player in the family. And I had no option. But, you know, she strongly encouraged me, which actually means you're going to do it and you're going to enjoy it, to go to nursing home. She was involved in the women's ministries, and she would play the piano, and my brother and I would sing. And definitely around Christmas time, we would go and sing Christmas carols. I didn't mind the singing. I enjoyed the singing. However, I tell you, I was a little uncomfortable with what happened after the singing, because Mom would encourage me to go and to shake the hands of these dear, dear elderly people that were there and be next to them. And I tell you, it creeped me out a little bit because some of them wanted to grab at me and hold me. And but I was a child and I didn't understand. But you know what? It gets to be a bit uncomfortable when you come in close contact with something or someone or some circumstance that you can't control, but you can only respond to. I don't think it's just that way with being a child. I think adults can actually have that too, isn't it? Yeah. Because sometimes we get in environments, in fact, the one we are in right now in the culture, coming a bit uncomfortable with things that come close to you or situations or people that you can't control, but you can only respond to. Now, it wasn't until I got older that I realized that, you know, these people in these homes are in an atmosphere of a shadow of decline and darkness. Who wouldn't want? A child makes all the difference in the world when they see children. It's like their behavior is screaming out and wanting to touch life and energy. isn't it? And light. Therefore, they light up when someone is in their presence that has that light and that energy that is there. Isn't it why the spirit of Christmas is there and the Holy Spirit is there? Because the Holy Spirit, at dark moments in our lives, we can literally reach out to Him and say, touch me with your light, your love, and your power in the midst of this atmosphere and change the atmosphere. Can somebody say hallelujah? That's the spirit of Christmas. That's what the spirit of Christmas does. However, it is a bit uncomfortable to be in situations when you come close contact with someone like the Holy Spirit, which you can't control, but you can only respond to. What would happen if we responded to the Spirit of Christmas that wants to move in our lives, touch us, deliver us, and do the miraculous? What would happen if we say, Holy Spirit, come, move, take control, do what you want to do? True story that happened. See, the picture that's above on the PowerPoint is a pastor's wife named Lydia. Her and her husband, Ben, serve as children. Well, they did, youth pastors. I'm not sure if they're still there. But at Hawthorne Assembly of God Church, I spoke there a couple of years ago, and I didn't know her condition, but she had a malfunction in her lady's reproductive organs, and they desperately wanted to have children, but the doctor says, I'm sorry, you can't, that's impossible. But we serve a God who has the power of the Holy Spirit that can change the atmosphere and situations. She came forward, and she said, please pray for me, I want to have a baby. Want to have a child. So laid hands on her to pray, and the power of the Holy Spirit came upon her. And in 9 months, there was little Lily. Because God does that, doesn't He? And I had the privilege and honor to be able to hold this miracle baby of God in my arms at district council last year and get that wonderful picture. This Christmas story, we talk about a miracle baby, Jesus. And it was only because of the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christmas. Here's pondering point number one. You can actually take a picture of it if you want with your phone or write it down, or you can get the CD later on. There would not be Christmas without the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon the servant. I could have put Mary in there, but I did servant because I believe we're all supposed to be servants of God. There would not be Christmas, though, without the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon His servant. Of course, we're talking about Mary, but the Holy Spirit wants to come on us, too. Not to impregnate us necessarily with babies, although He can do that, but impregnate us with gifts and impregnate us with the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke 1:35 says, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. The Holy Spirit moves profoundly upon the Christmas story. And Mary said in Luke 1:38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be according to what you have said. The power of the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Christmas. In a sense, Mary responded by saying, come, Holy Spirit. Do what you want to do in my life. And she replied by saying, be it unto me according to your word, which you have spoken to me about. Then she breaks forth in a song. And I like part of the song that I want to highlight. And the message is this. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has filled the hungry with good things. Question, how hungry are you for the spirit of Christmas? How hungry? You know, you can have an appetite for more than just things that fill your belly and physical appetite. I don't know about you, but I'm sure there's people that in here, you have an appetite for wholeness in your body, appetite for being free of pain in your body. Maybe you have an appetite for peace of mind and for comfort. Maybe there is an appetite for, you know what? I don't want to be alone anymore. Maybe you have an appetite to see the Lord move profoundly and being called into ministry. But his word proclaims through his servant, after the Lord touched her with the power of the Holy Spirit, says, he has filled the hungry with good things. If you are hungry and have an appetite maybe to forgive you, for God to forgive you of your sins, an appetite for maybe set you free from something that has tripped you up in life, a life-controlling substance, God promises through his word that he fills the hungry with what? Good things. Good, good things. And today we are living in a time of uncertainty and unease. But here's another pondering point. We can't control the current dysfunction of political and pandemic unrest. We can't control that. However, we can always choose to respond to the spirit of Christmas. That's something we can do. The spirit of Christmas brings freedom, life, and liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:17 confirms that and says this. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I don't know about you, but I'm hungry for freedom and liberty here in America. I am hungry for the move of God to be here in our churches and our nation and to go from this nation to other nations. Freedom does not come from politics or politicians or from wealth or from a job or from titles or from any health industries. Freedom comes first through the liberty that the Holy Spirit gives, poured out through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm ready to say, let the freedom bell ring of your spirit, Lord. Let the freedom bell ring, and let there be revival, oh God. Let there be revival. Are you hungry for the spirit of Christmas? Oh, let's respond like God's servant Mary. In a climate of darkness, and say, be it unto me according to your word. If God said it, if he said it, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. Here's another pondering point. God waited but did not withhold the prophetic promise he gave 400 years prior to Jesus coming. He waited but he did not withhold. Micah 5:2 says this, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. He waited, but he did not withhold. Aren't you good that every word and prophetic word from God, you might wait for it, but he will not withhold it. Hallelujah. In between the prophetic word given by the Holy Spirit through Micah, there was a time of dark silence. In fact, between Micah, the minor prophet, Micah, to when Jesus was born, it was 400 years, but it came to pass. Every word that's spoken over you prophetically, it will come to pass. Might wait, but God will not withhold it. 400 years is sometimes a number of bondage. In fact, another time in Scripture, there's 400 years between prophetic word. God spoke to Abraham in the Old Testament and said, look up at the stars. Do you see the stars? So shall your descendants be. In fact, him and his wife were barren, and God gave a prophetic word that they were going to have a baby. And it came to pass. In fact, and he said also that, you know what? You see all these stars? Your descendants will be. But I want to tell you this. For 400 years, they're going to be in bondage. But after 4 years, I will bring them out underneath that bondage, and they will come out with great possession. And how did that happen? It was through the Passover lamb, the perfect blood of the lamb that was over the doorpost that literally set them free. And I don't think it's by chance that after Micah prophesied, oh, you and Bethlehem will come ruler of the people, that it was 400 years saying what? That Jesus came to set us free from our bondages that we have, to liberate us and to free us. 400 years again. So I don't think it's by chance that in Galatians 5:1, having eye issue, 5:1, for it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And emphasize this, look at that scripture clearly, and do not let yourselves be burdened again. I want you to focus on that, be burdened again with a yoke of slavery. Here's the thing, freedom was meant to stick. His freedom was meant to stick in your life. We can declare a declaration of independence from every yoke of slavery. Because freedom was meant to stick. When God says, I don't want you burdened again by the yoke of slavery, that means he doesn't want his people to go through a repetitious cycle of slavery. He intends for freedom in your life to stick. Isn't that encouraging? So we can pray according to that. It's interesting because yokes go around the neck. Any farmers back in the day or Amish people know that the oxen, they would pick a yoke around the oxen's neck and teamed with another oxen, there would be a yoke around the neck. Now, I think that's interesting because in Bible history, as well as other historical references, it says that conquerors put their feet on the necks of their enemies as a sign of their subjection. I don't think that's by chance. Put their feet on their necks, that a yoke would be upon their neck. Why the neck? Why the neck? Anybody ever heard the term, I've stuck my neck out for you? You know, anybody ever heard that? Or, I laid down my neck for you. Those are terms that we use. That means, you know what? I am almost giving my life up, coming under subjection to whatever, by giving of myself. Why the neck? Well, why not disconnect the thing which connects the head to the body? When you disconnect the head from the body can go berserk. Anybody heard the term, you're running around with a chicken with his head cut off? You ever seen that happen? Cut off the head and the body goes berserk? That's what happened when there's no leadership and there's no head. The body goes berserk. We serve the Father God, the Father God, the Son God, the Holy Spirit. When we suppress the Holy Spirit, we're suppressing God. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us. He wants to guide us. And if we cut off one of them, the body will go berserk. Why isn't the Holy Spirit moving in our churches, especially our Assembly of God churches? Maybe we've suppressed God because we suppressed the Holy Spirit. But we want the Holy Spirit to come, don't we? And we want every yoke to be broken off of us. Why not try to suffocate the neck? The neck has to do with what? Your respiratory system and oxygen. Your brain cannot survive without oxygen that comes from the lungs. And your body needs the nervous system in order to work. Why not cut that thing off? In fact, why not send an evil virus that cuts off your respiratory system so you cannot breathe? When the Holy Spirit is the pneuma breath of life that wants to go down into your lungs and be the breath of life in you. We need to be led and filled and what? Overtaken by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I say, come Holy Spirit, and literally, instead of you suffocating us, suffocate the coronavirus out of this nation and out of the other nations. Can somebody say hallelujah? Because you know what? We are supposed to use our feet to put our feet on the neck of the enemy. Can somebody say hallelujah? Every place we put our foot, it shall be ours. The Bible says you will tread upon the lion and the scorpions. Correct? Hallelujah. And be upon his. In fact, Isaiah 10:27 says this, in that day, their burden will be lifted from their shoulders. Their, I emphasize, their yoke, because other things can put a yoke on you, their yoke from your neck. The yoke will be broken because you have grown so fat. And I've used this in other illustrations, but I'm going to repeat just this little snippet. Here's the thing, pondering point. Fat in the Hebrew context, in this context, it means oil. Oil is very symbolic of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is symbolic of oil. And I say, the whole picture is this. If you had a yoke on your neck, or an oxen, say your oxen has a yoke on it. If you keep on feeding and feeding and feeding that oxen, guess what? They're going to get fat. And they're going to get so fat that eventually that yoke is going to break off. So the whole word picture here is this. We need to get so fat filled of the Spirit of Christmas, the Holy Spirit, that we get so much consumed of Him that whatever yoke is attached to us that is holding us back will break off by the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Scripture declares that with the Spirit of Christmas, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The Spirit of Christmas is about Jesus being sent to set the captives free. Isaiah 61 and 2 says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus saying this, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. The angel sends the good news. The Spirit wants to work with the good news of the Word of God. And the angel came and spoke and preached to Mary. To Mary. And here's an interesting scenario about Mary. We're going to go through a couple figures now of the Christmas story and see how the Spirit of God works. Mary was poor. For her and Joseph, it says, took two pigeons, and that's the more sublime income. So they were poor. Both her and Joseph are what we would call today's terminology underprivileged. Yet God chose someone poor and underprivileged to have the privilege, of having the Holy Spirit come upon her and be a carrier and courier of the gospel. The very word she carried, the Word of God, Jesus, in her belly. However, that is good news for those of us who are more underprivileged in life. That maybe might not have much, but I tell you what, you are privileged to have the Holy Spirit come on you. You are privileged to have the Lord say, I choose you to be a courier and carrier of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Mary was even fearful. That might be of comfort to some of you. For the angel has said, oh, don't be afraid. She was fearful of her surroundings, the atmosphere of what happening when the angel approached her. She was fearful and underprivileged, but favored by God. Isn't that good to know that you can be somewhat afraid and fearful, but yet favored of God? Thank you, Lord. What can we learn from her and the Spirit of Christmas? Well, the Spirit of Christmas gives divine direction. Gives divine direction. Although Mary was fearful of the atmosphere around her, she was not afraid to, number one, hear what God was saying to her. She listened and she heard. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to us during this time, right? Be like Mary. And although you might not understand what's going on, still try to listen to hear what God is saying. Number two, ask how God, she wasn't afraid to ask how God was going to do what He had promised. How, Lord, are you going to do? Maybe the Lord has spoken to you and said something. It's okay. Be like Mary and say, Lord, how? How are you going to do this? And it gives Bible references up there. Three, she wasn't afraid to continue to serve Him. during this time. Now listen to this. She had not been with Joseph. She had not had intimacy with him. The Holy Spirit made her pregnant. Now, can you imagine all of the talk that people say, oh sure, yeah, the Holy Spirit came on you. Yeah, right. And that's never happened before. We'll just see. Has anybody given you a dream or given you a vision? And maybe you shared it or spoke it out. And there is like people thinking, well, sure, yeah. And maybe it wasn't the best of a reply. I am sure Mary had the same scenarios. But you know what? People might look at you with different glances that maybe aren't the best. But look what Mary did. She continued to serve despite what everybody said. Continue to serve God despite what people say. Four, she wasn't afraid to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, whatever that looked like. She didn't know what it looked like to have the Holy Spirit or what it felt like to have the Holy Spirit come on her, but she's like, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. I don't know where it's going to look like, but I say, I receive. Let's be kind of like Mary. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Quickly, the spirit of Christmas gives divine drive and demonstration. Divine drive and demonstration. Let's look at several characters in the story and see how the spirit of Christmas can give divine drive. How do we know that he gives divine drive and demonstration? Number one, after the Spirit of God came on Mary, Mary, quote, got ready and hurried to her mentor, Elizabeth. The Holy Spirit will put a fire in your tushy. And will somehow get you moving and going. It happened to Mary, and she's like, I need to speak with someone who has been through what I've gone through. Elizabeth was old in age, was barren too. Didn't think that she was going to have a baby. She was up in her 80s and 90s or so, age bracket, and the Lord says you're going to have a miracle, and it happened. Don't you think Mary, her relative, knew about it? And sometimes we gravitate to people. Have you been through something that I'm going through right now, and I just need to talk with you about it? You know, you might be a little older, a little wiser, and you've gone through some good and bad and ugly, and I'll just come to you. And the Spirit of God hits Mary, and lo and behold, the Spirit of God tells her where to go. Go to Elizabeth. And then number two, when Mary entered into Elizabeth's house, which is also her relative and a mentor, and she greeted the Spirit of God in Mary, that Christmas spirit did something inside of Elizabeth, and the baby, the gift that was in her, the baby quickened or leaped inside of her. Don't you love connecting with somebody that can make the gifts that God has given you leap inside of you? And you know, we're supposed to be like iron sharpens iron, so we're supposed to sharpen one another. And let me just say this. Have you ever sharpened a knife before? There's friction. So don't think that that person is always going to make you feel comfortable. They might irritate you a little bit or annoy you maybe a little bit or get under your skin a little bit, but sharpens you. But with the sharpening, there come sparks. There's also sparks with the sharpening. We need a quickening of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our churches. We need to get with people that allow the Spirit of the God to move and the Spirit demonstration. The Holy Spirit wants to do that. And guess what? Three, Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke prophetically. Guess what? The gifts were increased and released. Beautiful. Four, both servants were blessed and Mary proclaimed the good news of what she was told. Five, the Christmas spirit will also drive you to go to church. Hey, Simeon, Simeon, the Lord spoke to him and said, you will not die until you see God's redeeming power coming on you, until you see the Holy One that I sent. And it said that the Holy Spirit moved Simon into the temple. If the Spirit is moving on you, it will be manifested because you will want to go to church. I love it that several weeks ago that God filled one of our students here, Brady, with the power of the Holy Spirit. I asked him about a week later, I said, what is the Lord doing to you or what's changed? He goes, I don't know, I just feel like I need to be here like all the time. Because the Spirit drives you to be in fellowship with one another, drives you to be in church with other people. It drove Simon. And you know what? Those who aren't in church, the Bible says this, and it's very clear. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another. Can I be so bold to say that you're not having true fellowship if you're not in church? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Christmas spirit will drive you to go to church. It drove us at 6. It causes you to move in the right moment. It moved Anna. Remember Anna, she lived at the temple, I mean, for what, 80-some years? 84 years fasting and praying. She's married for 7. And the Lord promised her that she will see the redemption. Redemption coming upon this land in Jesus, and she did. If the Lord has spoken to you about somebody that he's promised redemption in your life and in your family, believe his promise that your eyes will see it. It sure did with Anna, and it moved her. We need the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christmas, to move upon us and give us drive and demonstration again. Can somebody say hallelujah? I've heard many people say, and I've even say it, I need to get in the Spirit of Christmas. Might I just suggest this? Maybe the Spirit of Christmas needs to get in you or come upon you. Hallelujah. Movement can be uncomfortable. Movement can be very uncomfortable. But we are supposed to be moved and led by the Holy Spirit. The Assemblies of God is a movement that came from the power of the Holy Spirit. At this time, around 119 years ago, there were people. Charles Parham met in Topeka, Kansas, and started a Bethel Bible School. He started a Bethel Bible School of Hunger for those who will leave everything they have, give up everything and leave everything and come to the school to learn about Jesus. They started learning about baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they wanted to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And there was a woman that was there named Agnes Osman, and she was hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit. They started praying in October, and they prayed for months. Come New Year's Day, 1901, New Year's Day, she said to Charles Parham, please lay hands on me. I want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she received, the Holy Spirit came on her, she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which began a movement. From there, it went to Azusa Street in California. From that, it went to Hot Springs, Arkansas, which started the Assemblies of God, our movement. Our movement started with the movement of the power of the Holy Ghost. And we need to allow the Holy Spirit to continue to move in our movement. Hallelujah. Now, we've been talking about the Spirit of Christmas, the Holy Spirit of Christmas. But do you know what Christmas means? And if the praise and worship team can start coming up, that'd be great. Do you know what Christmas means? Well, I was inquisitive and I looked. Christmas. Christ means anointed. Anointed means by the Holy Spirit. Or the Lord's anointed. That's what Christ means. Mas comes from a Latin word meaning missa. That's where we get like missions or missiology or missa in Latin. And that means go. It is the sending. So literally, Christmas means the sent, anointed one. The sent, anointed one that came through the power of the Holy Spirit to give us freedom, to set the captives free from the yoke of slavery, give us divine direction, drive with demonstration. And why did he do that? Pondering point. The Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, gave us Christmas, the sent anointed one, so that we can be anointed sent ones. Are you hearing this? Why did he send Christmas? For him to save us. But he wants the Holy Spirit for it to be birthed in our lives so we can be couriers and carriers of the Holy Spirit so that we can be sent ones. And here's what John 20 says. Jesus said this, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, Christmas being the anointed sent one, as the Father has sent me, and as Jesus went around healing all those who are oppressed of the enemy, doing good. He suggests to us, I want you to do what? You're going to do even greater things. Christmas, the anointed sent ones, is supposed to be what? So that we could be, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christmas, anointed sent ones. Jesus says, the Father has sent me. I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christmas. Jesus promised that he would do it. He promised to pour out his Holy Spirit. Why? So we could be witnesses in a dark atmosphere. The reason God sent the tongues of fire in the book of Acts, his disciples, the ones that are supposed to be the sent ones, his disciples were in a room and they were afraid. But God was so faithful and so merciful and loving that he appeared to them right there in the room and says, listen, don't leave Jerusalem. He told them, don't leave Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. Because you're going to need assistance for the witness. You're going to need this in an atmosphere, in a changing atmosphere, in an atmosphere of persecution when things are getting shaking. Listen, God anointed me and I was sent to you. Now I want to send you out. So receive the power and the demonstration and the drive that you need during desperate times. You can receive the drive that is needed. So, if he told his disciples that and his servants that, don't you think that as we get closer to the Lord's appearing, that we need just as much or as more? And I hope that you will respond and that you will say, be it unto me according to your word. Holy Spirit, come, breathe on me. Heal me, forgive me, change me, stir up the gifts within me. I don't know what it's going to look like, Lord. I don't know what it's going to feel like. I don't know. It's a little different atmosphere. But it's a bit uncomfortable coming close proximity or close contact with someone that you can't control. But you can only respond to. Will you respond to the Spirit of Christmas today? What better gift than the gift of salvation to know that you are right with Jesus, that your sins are forgiven, that all the ugly that is in you because of choices that we make can be forgiven, wiped clean. Who wants to respond to Jesus? And the Spirit that he gives at Christmas, the Holy Spirit.